Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jax D. Jr. In today's episode, we spoke with Rocio Garcia Carbonero, MD, PhD. In our conversation, Dr. Garcia Carbonero discussed a subgroup analysis from the Phase 3 FRESCO-2 trial, which evaluated fruquintinib in previously treated metastatic colorectal cancer. Additionally, Dr. Garcia Carbonero also shared findings from the PomTeco study, the first international prospective real-world study and metastatic colorectal cancer, which examined patients initiating third-line therapy after progression on at least two prior regimens.
The FRESCO-2 study was a global trial conducted mainly in Western countries in patients with metastatic colorectal cancer that have had failed to basically all standard therapies, meaning at least fluoropyrimidine, cyrenotican, oxaliplatin, bevacizumab, anti-EGFR, IFRAS, and BRAF wild type, and had to have received TAS-102 and or regorafenib, so at least one of both drugs or both of them. So this was conducted in a setting really with no alternative options for care. Colorectal cancer patients, colorectal cancer is one of the most prevalent cancers we have. And even if it's fourth line plus, there's still many patients that are very fit and that we don't have options for them. And so it's really a highly unmet medical need. And this trial was randomized trial, double blind, placebo control, randomized 2-to-1 to receive fruquintinib or placebo. And this trial enrolled almost 700 patients. And demonstrated a significant improvement in progression-free survival and overall survival in a meaningful way, like a 3-month improvement in this setting is fairly good. And so here in this Congress, we present a subgroup analysis of this trial because this trial has already been published. So we present a subgroup analysis exploring the benefit of fruquintinib based on the localization of metastatic disease. So we analyze basically 4 subgroups, patients with liver-only metastasis, patients with lung-only metastasis, and patients with bone metastasis, with or without other sites, and with peritoneal disease, with or without disease in other sites. So these subgroups are not very big. So liver only and lung only are about 4-5% of the patient population. The bone metastasis subgroup is about 11%, and the peritoneal disease is about 15%. And what we see that really fruquintinib improves overall survival in all the subgroups. So the survival with fruquintinib is much better in lung than in liver or bone, and the worst is for peritoneal disease. But these are more prognostic rather than predictive factors because within each subgroup, fruquintinib improves survival versus placebo. The only subgroup we couldn't demonstrate is in the lung subgroup analysis because the results were so good. The median the median overall survival for fruquintinib treated patients was around 14 months. So we didn't have enough events to demonstrate a benefit there. But we demonstrated in all the subgroups an improved disease control rate and improved progression-free survival. So this is good news. So there are certain sites of metastasis that can have a poor prognosis, but they all can benefit from fruquintinib therapy. I think this is one more option in the continuum of care of these patients. So it's always good because it all adds on. I think the colorectal cancer field is a good example of how a small incremental gains have led to significant global gains in the end. So each line adds 2 to 3 months, but in the end, the more lines you give, the more patients can live. And there's a subgroup of patients that can benefit for a long time. So I think it's one more option for our patients. It's well tolerated, reasonably well tolerated. We know how to handle TKIs by now. We have a lot of TKIs in the field. And it's something we feel oncologists feel comfortable with managing. And I think it's good news for our patients.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Prometco trial is a Prometco. It's not a clinical trial. It's a real world prospective study. So I think it's the first international real world prospective study that is conducted in metastatic colorectal cancer patients that have progressed twice since the diagnosis of metastatic disease and are about to start a third line therapy. That's when we consented patients to be enrolled in this study, and we have collected prospectively from their own real world practice, the treatments administered, the safety, efficacy, and of course PFS and survival of these patients. So I think it's an important trial. It recruited over 700 patients. It reflects well what's the current standard of care. About 75% of patients received TAS 102 in real world. That was before the Sunlight, of course, trial was communicated. So not very many patients treated with TAS bevacizumab. But it includes about 10% of patients that present ECOG-2, which are really underrepresented in clinical trials, as you know. And it's important that we have information on efficacy and on safety in this subgroup of patients. So here at ESMO GI, we present the safety analysis based on performance status. We also analyze the patient characteristics in this subgroup of poorer performance status patients. We find that patients with PS2 have generally more advanced disease, a higher rate of right colon cancer, more liver mets, more sites of metastasis. And this is reflected in an increased rate of adverse events and of serious adverse events. It's increased about 10%. Most striking increase was in anemia. Probably because it is reflecting this, high volume or more advanced disease. I think it's important data so that practicing clinicians know what to expect when they treat patients that for which we don't have information in clinical trials.
What do you want clinicians to understand about the prognosis of GI NETs, TRAFE?
The session on GI neuroendocrine neoplasms was very pragmatically oriented. I think there were three cases discussed that represent a bit all the spectrum of neuroendocrine neoplasms that we see, because this is a very heterogeneous family of tumors that encompass from really very indolent disease to highly aggressive. And sometimes patients assume all neuroendocrine tumors or neoplasms are very indolent. It's not always like this. So I presented a case of a poorly differentiated neuroendocrine carcinoma of the colon. That is in a scenario that has a very poor prognosis. That are highly aggressive tumors. And so we discussed the diagnostic procedures that may be indicated. So for example, this was an interactive session. We asked questions to the audience. For example, it was just striking that in these poorly differentiated carcinomas, 25% of the audience would have asked for a PET gallium. PET gallium is a test that we use for well-differentiated tumors because it assesses expression of somatostatin receptors, and this is not indicated in this poorly differentiated. So we sort of make this point to the people. It was an educational session. Also, the fact that at least 20% or over 20% of patients have molecular alterations that may be targetable, may be druggable, and we need to search for them, and this is another key take take away that, I mean, if you can profile your tumor, do so, because you may find things beyond a standard classical cytotoxic chemotherapy that may be of benefit for patients. I presented a case with BRAF mutations, but you may find MSI tumors, you may find TMB high tumors, you may find RAS mutations that now, you know, there's a lot of new inhibitors targeting RAS mutation, etc. So we need to drive the field to be more molecularly oriented, because I think our patients will benefit from it.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please also consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air.